desire your prayers. We recognize that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm thinking of the scripture that says, through the foolishness of preaching, he chose to save you and me. I also am thinking of a scripture that says, ye should all speak the same things and be perfectly joined together in mind and judgment.
Yes.
And I am amazed, as I have sat here and listened to the brethren that has brought forth the Word of God, how that the burden has been the same. That tells me that we're speaking the same things. We're speaking of the same mind and the same judgment. It's very important that you and I recognize tonight the scope of time, where we are on in this world, the unfolding of time, having a vision and having an understanding. I like to say it like this, that eternity is looming in sight. That means it's just on the horizon. I believe it's just out before us. The scripture says, this you and I should know, that in the last days there would be perilous times. This word perilous has a meaning that should get our attention tonight. It means to the exposure to the chance of destruction. There's an opportunity that you and I can be lost. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, are there only going to be a few people saved? His answer to them was this, you seek to enter in. Although he said in another place, many are called, few are chosen, but the cry from his own lips was, you strive to enter in. I want to read a passage that I recognize what it means, but I feel like that we can compare it to the age that we're living in. It is in Isaiah, the 17th chapter. Going to be looking at verses 4 through 9 and then the last verse of the 16th chapter. It says, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. What does that mean? That gives us a picture in our mind of someone that is not really flourishing. And it says, in that day, in the gospel day, in our day. It says, it shall be when the harvest man gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm. In other words, they just have an abundance. There was a time that in our world, in our before us, that there was great harvest in the church of God throughout the world.
Yes.
As time has gone on, sometimes people say, the Spirit of the Lord is lifting from the earth. We don't believe the Spirit of the Lord is lifting from the earth. We believe His arms are outstretched still.
Yes.
That the same call that He gave is still the same call. It is the hardness of men's hearts that is rejecting His call, that appears that His Spirit is withholding itself. But I believe the Spirit of God is still reaching out to every soul on the face of the earth today.
Amen.
And He will until the last day.
Yes.
He will be faithful to every soul. And it goes on and it says, and reapeth the ears of it by the arm. And it shall be as he that gathereth the ears in the valley of Rephaim. And I have out to the side that that was an ancient race of people that was reduced to a remnant. The church of God today is a remnant. It is a remnant of a remnant. There was a time that the church of God was flourishing in our world, in our society, across our land, across the world. There was a time that the word was going out and the word was being produced in the lives of people, and the effects of the gospel was being affected by people, and they were rejoicing in the truth. But Satan is opposing the truth today in all of our society. And we've already heard some messages to awaken us to the things that are he is producing in our world. So don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged if it appears that we are in just a time of a remnant. Recognize that possibly that's the prophecy. It's verse 6 I want to emphasize. Yet, in spite of that, there's gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord God. That's what I see. I see that it is the efforts of the work of God now to try to reach everyone that has an honest heart toward God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you could be one of those two or three,
yes.
Or three or four.
Yes.
You could be one of those that the Spirit of God is reaching out to, is trying to say, it's time for you to make a decision.
Right.
It is time for you to wake up.
Yes.
And then it says, in that day shall a man look to his Maker. You and I need to look to our Maker today. Don't look around us. Don't judge the church of God by what we're seeing with our eyes. The next verse says that we are not to look at our altars. What would that mean? Do we judge our services by the numbers of people that came to the altars? Does that mean that our altars are of none effect? The power is still here.
Yes.
It is still calling out.
Yes.
And for everyone that will respond, the altar is a good place. We know that God is our altar, that you don't have to come to this altar, and we're not judging the success of this meeting by how many numbers or lack of numbers came to the altar. You can seek God in your home. We say it is wise to seek God at a public altar for more than one reason. One reason is it is an open testimony.
Yes.
For another reason, the scripture says two are better than one.
Yes.
There is agreement of prayer. There is encouragement.
Right.
When the saints are there to encourage you and help you to be able to come to that place of victory in your life.
Amen.
So we're not looking at the altars today and judging this meeting by the altar. And then the last part of verse 14 of the 16th chapter, it says, the remnant shall be very small and feeble. So let us not be discouraged tonight if it seems small and feeble. We desire your prayers that the Lord will help us. Did you know that the scripture says that hell hath enlarged herself?
Yes.
And it also says with that verse, hath opened her mouth without measure. Did you know that? Did you know hell is larger than God ever intended for it to be? He did not intend for the vast majority of our whole society of the world to reject his loving favor and choose death.
Yes. Right.
He said, I set before you this day life and death. He says, choose life.
Yes.
It's our choice.
That's right.
To choose life is the right choice.
Amen.
But many people today are saying, I will choose it later. Not now. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Many people are there. But you and I must always continually choose life.
Yes.
I would like to testify that my calling has been to the saints, to the church. I've told the congregation that. They know I say that often. I am not called to be a hunter. I am not called to be a fisher. I don't go out there. My calling is not there. I tell the congregation, you go bring them in. I'll work with them. That's my calling. And in my calling, I was cleaning out some stacks of notes, old messages recently at my desk, and I began to read through them. I began to look at some of the verses that I used often. And one of those verses that it seemed like I used more often than others was, warn the righteous that they sin not. We are living in a time when, even if we're saved, even if we have are sanctified, Brother Marty said in a comment, I believe, this morning, that he looked back at the time when he was a little bit more on fire. He felt the Spirit of the Lord a little bit more. He wanted that back. I think we all could say that.
Yes.
If we stop and compare how, where we've been, we might say, it seemed that I was anointed more there. I want that same anointing.
Yes.
Are we going to let down because we may not feel the same anointing? And so the cry is to the saints, be careful.
Yes.
The message this morning was recognize those warning signals. Know when you're not really on fire.
Yes.
Recognize it.
Amen.
Another scripture that I found that I used often down through the years was, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Very moving scripture. We often look at the ungodly and the sinner, but we fail to look at that word that says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does that mean? That means it's going to be hard. You're still going to have to press.
Yes.
You're still going to have to fight. You're still going to have to watch. You're still going to have to pray. He said in one place, occupy until I come. And that means every day.
Yes.
Another scripture that I found that I used fairly often was in Amos, the 5th chapter, the 7th chapter, verse 8. And it says, the Lord said, behold, I set a plumb line in the midst of my people. And he says, I will not pass by them anymore. That's quite a scripture. That's to the saints. That's to the people of God. It's also to you that are counting the cost.
Yes.
The plumb line is not going to be pulled over to meet your needs. It's going to be you coming to the plumb line, to the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is eternally set. You and I cannot change it. We can't cause it to fit something in our life. We must embrace the plumb line ourselves.
Yes.
That's where the truth is. That's where life is.
Amen.
That's choosing life. So, I believe that the Lord is wanting us to recognize these things as we make our decision, our choice. Would someone hand me a songbook, please? Could I have this one? Or thank you. Our message tonight, thank you. Thank you, I do need it. Want to look at a song, 392. Thank you, Donnie. Song that is very familiar with to all of us. Actually, the message you're going to hear tonight is not new. We have all heard these messages hundreds of times down through our life. These messages have been preached over and over and over. In this meeting, we're hearing the same kinds of messages. Why do you suppose that is? It's because God is still having His cry to awake. Awake! Put on strength! Who? Zion. He's crying not only to those that are lost, but He's crying to the saved. There at home, in other places too, I know you do it too. We do it in our prayer requests here. Pray for the lost. And we do. We pray for the lost. We all have lost loved ones that we're seeking the Lord to deal with their hearts. But I have a cry and a burden. Pray for the saved.
Yes.
Pray that the saints will keep saved. Will not slip back. Will not slide. So tonight,
yes.
This little thought that we have, it all starts out, where art thou? It's not going to be to the sinner. You can be one of those grapes in the uppermost bough. You can listen to what is said. You can allow it to draw you tonight. But the cry tonight is to the one that will say, oh Christian, where art thou? While you're waiting by the river, I said a little bit ago, where have we been? And where are we now?
Yes.
We need to examine our lives. Have we slipped a little bit? Have we lost any ground? We have a song that the young people will sing, I'm giving up no ground. Is that our resolve tonight? Do we look at the truth of God's Word, the light that He has shown upon our path, that which He has taught us, revealed to us? Are we still living by that? Are we embracing it with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Or are we beginning to reason it out? Is this really important? Is that what God really means? I want to tell you, He still means what He said.
Amen.
And He wants you and me to count it as very valuable to believe it,
yes,
to live it, and to practice it. So the question that we have tonight, Christian, where art thou? Where art thou, brother? See, it's addressing the brother,
yes,
the sister, on life's way. Where art thou? Where goest thou today?
Yes.
I was praying recently. Actually, it's been two different times that the Lord has spoke this to me. In prayer, the Lord spoke to me and He said, you can be lost. It got my attention. It caused me to begin to examine myself, to look at my experience. Have I been continuing with my prayer life? Have I been still reading the Word of God? What am I doing with my time? Those were questions that began to go through my mind, and it brought tears for the Lord to speak this to me two times. You can be lost. I'm speaking it to you tonight. You can be lost. You may be saved and sanctified and living to all that you know and understand, but we have an adversary.
That's right.
The devil is seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
He has a plan for you.
Amen.
He has a plan for me. I remember I testified to someone today about this when the Lord saved me. I'd been away from the Lord for some time. And the enemy had convinced me that I was predestined to be lost. He twisted the scripture in my mind. I could talk about hell and was not affected because that I thought I was predestined. Our two daughters, two oldest daughters, had gotten saved at the Guthrie meeting. And I stood there weeping that my two young daughters wanted to live for the Lord and I wasn't. But the Lord began to deal with my heart from that time. That was at the Guthrie meeting. We went to the Monarch meeting just for one night. God met us there. I still remember the message that was preached that night. It was from 8 to 80. Whatever is standing between you and God at the age that you are right now, it may not be the same thing in 10 years, but there will always be something else.
Yes.
I stood at the back there at the Monarch Tabernacle, and I was weeping. I would have left. I believe it was my last opportunity. And the Lord sent a big rain. And I could not leave. Brother Stover, who had been our pastor when we married, he came and talked to me. And he convinced me to go to the altar, and I did. But after I got there, I said, I don't want to be here. And a number of ministers were there to pray with me. And I said to them, I said, I'm one of those that's predestined to be lost. And they laid their hands on me and rebuked that spirit because it was a lie.
Yes.
And I got saved. But I was miserable in my salvation. You might wonder, how can you be miserable in your salvation? My husband had not been saved since after the first or second year of our marriage. And every time that I tried to live for the Lord, there was this great gulf between us. If you're here today and your companion isn't saved, I want to tell you God has grace. He will help you. But that's what I met as soon as I got saved, was this great gulf between me and my husband. And I went and got up in the camper bed, cried like a baby, and he knew I got saved. We left and went on a camping trip, and I was so miserable. And I was crying out to the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, I can't live this way. I have to have something more. And one day, Lauren took the girls for a walk, and I got down before the Lord in that camper. And I said those same words. And the Lord came down and met me in that camper and swept away the gulf. And He said, you can love your husband all you want, but love me the most.
Yes.
And I had the victory, and I wouldn't be here tonight had I not gained that first victory.
Yes.
Oh, I want to tell you, God has victory for His people.
Amen.
But that is my testimony. I want us to consider a song that we have sang here during this meeting. It's 409. What song is it?
Eternity.
We sing this song for altar calls. We've sang it all my life. We've always sang this song as an altar call song, and that's not wrong. It's just that the Lord opened my eyes recently and caused me to see this was to the saints. This was to awaken the people of God. If you look at the verses, the very first one is talking about a pilgrim. Who is a pilgrim? It's a saint.
Yes.
And it said that they went out to meet the pure and the blessed. That tells me that that's talking to the saints. We need to read the words that we're singing. It's not wrong to use it as an altar call song. It's a serious song. But saints, I want to tell you, we need to let the seriousness of this song be in our hearts, planted in our hearts. It's to put a burden on our heart for the lost.
That's right.
It goes on, and the last verse even says, "Let us work while 'tis day." It's addressing the people of God here. There's some very poignant words written in this song. Words that should get all of our attention, saved and lost. It said that he lingered and silently listened. He had a vision that came before his mind that opened up something. That was the only way he was able to write the words of this song. He thought of how time kept going on. And as it went on, there were people that were meeting this place of going out into eternity. And he talked about the millions that have gone out into eternity. How many have gone out into eternity since this song was written? How many years ago was this written? And every day, every minute, every hour, souls are going out into eternity.
Right.
You and I that are saved, we need that to affect us.
Yes.
Not only for our own souls, but we need to be affected for the lost.
Yes.
He said he saw when the judge in his splendor stepped to the great judgment seat. Do you know that there is going to be a judgment?
Yes.
Do you believe it? Or is it just words that go out, goes through one ear and out the other? I remember when I was teaching in school, and I would say words to my students like this. Don't let it go through one ear and out the other. Let it stop somewhere in the middle and have an effect in your life. That's education. But what about the Word of God? How many have allowed the word to just be said and it means nothing when I walk out the door? I can't even remember what the message was all about.
Amen.
Did you know what's happening? The scripture tells us Jesus gave the parable of the sower and the seed.
Yes.
And he said that there are going to be people that are by the wayside and that the word is going to be spoken and they're even going to love it. They're going to appreciate it. But what happens? The devil comes and he snatches it away. And that's what's happening right here in this chapel. There is a spirit of Satan that as the word is going forth, you may be saying in your heart, "Oh, that was a good message." And yet he snatches it away. He doesn't allow the effects of the words to sink down in your life.
Amen. Yes.
To produce the effects.
Right.
God is here wanting a production of His Word.
Yes.
He says, "I'm not sending my Word out void. It's going to be required."
Yes.
All of the messages that you and I have said under the gospel and heard, we're going to be responsible for
yes,
it.
Amen.
Saved and unsaved.
Amen.
We are a very responsible people. You and I are.
Yes.
If we're saved, we're very responsible. If we're here tonight and you're just counting the cost, don't reject the Spirit of God. Don't turn it away. If you have to, say, Lord, I want it. Don't leave me. Appeal to the Spirit of God to stay dealing with your heart.
Amen.
He'll honor that.
Yes.
One of the brothers this week spoke about the time and the crashing of time with eternity.
Yes.
It was a very impressive example that was used. Did you get a hold of it?
Yes.
Did it have any impact? Did you think that's what it's going to be like?
Yes.
Time is going to come to an abrupt end.
Right.
Time will be no more. We will not be counting time here anymore.
That's so. Amen.
But if you're lost, if you're in eternity forever lost, you will be counting time. Time will mean something then. If you're there 1 year, you will say, isn't 1 year long enough? How long has the rich man been there? Don't you know he is saying, isn't this long enough? Isn't there a way out? But there's no way out. It is forever, and our human minds can hardly take that in. Eternity without end. We like to think of heaven without end, but do you ever think of hell without end? The enemy wants you to be blind and deceived. He wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to think you won't end up there.
Right. That's right.
But without the blood, you will end up there. Eternity. The writer there said long eternity. Do you know the history of the writer? You ever read it? D.O. Teasley? He wrote a number of books, of songs in our book. Anointed songs. He was once a man of God. He was saved. He was sanctified. Somewhere along the way, the enemy successfully planted lust in his life. He left his wife for a younger woman, divorced her. This is the man that wrote Eternity. Can we be lost? The story is that he said that he did not want the name of God mentioned at his funeral. Where do you think that man is today? That man is in hell. And he's counting time. And he knows he cannot get out. I often think when we sing that song, I'm wondering if our singing the song that he wrote, if it's not part of his torment, if he might not hear every time that song is sung, and it is a torment. I don't know. I'm just surmising. I want us to look at the 10 virgins. For the sake of time, we're not going to read that. We all know about the 10 virgins. They were all Christians.
Yes.
Each one of those 10 virgins experienced salvation. They were redeemed. They were saved.
Yes.
Each one of them were a light in this world. Each one of them had a fresh testimony.
Yes.
Each one of them were looking for the bridegroom.
That's right.
All of them were looking for the bridegroom. As I thought on those things, I thought about how we would compare it to today. We might say every one of them read their Bibles. Every one of them prayed. They had their devotions. Every one of them no doubt went through trials and tests and had victories from time to time.
Yes.
Every one of them knew the grace of God.
Yes.
Everyone. But in the course of time, something happened to half of them. 50%. Does that speak to us tonight?
Yes.
Does that say something to us tonight?
Amen.
Saints, we haven't made it yet. We haven't made our eternal goal.
No.
We still have a life to live.
Right.
We're still going to have to fight the battles. We're still going to have to gain the victories. We're going to have to maintain the oil in our life. Isn't that the difference?
Yes.
Oh, I want to tell you, a sanctified life is what we all need. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need the oil of the Holy Ghost in our life. And without it, you stand a great chance of being lost in the end.
That's right.
Oh, that sounds hard, doesn't it? Oh, but I'm saved. If you're here tonight and you haven't sought for that experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost, I urge you to seek for it with your whole heart.
Amen.
It will make the difference in the end.
Yes.
I want to go back to the song, verse 2. And it says, neglecter, where art thou? One place it says, what is the scripture about neglecting so great a salvation? I want to tell you, we can neglect salvation once we have it.
Yes.
We are not as the world that once you're saved, you're always saved. That's just a lie from the devil.
Yes, it is.
If you neglect your salvation, you stand a great chance of being lost. I want to read to you out of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. And this is, the writer says he went by the field of the slothful, but I'm going to say he went by the field of the neglecter. Someone that has neglected the care of his own soul. If you want to read with me, it's starting at the 30th verse, which he said, I went by the field of the neglecter and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. We need an understanding tonight of the seriousness of eternity. We're in time. Let me say something here. My mother said that even as a child, I looked for the Lord. I looked for the Lord all my life. I wanted to be alive when the Lord came back. In the 1990s, I looked for the Lord. I prayed for the Lord to come. I'm not saying that's wise. The Lord reproved me. I wanted the Lord to come before my grandchildren had reached the age of accountability. I wanted my grandchildren to be saved. But time went on, and my grandchildren reached the age of accountability. But I have a hope that there is still grace to reach their generation.
Yes.
Though time has included their responsibility. But I remember how I longed and looked for every day. I prayed about it every day. I got up every day. Is this going to be the day? I looked for the Lord every day. Our whole world was looking. I say whole world. Our nation. The people around us. When it came to the year 2000, a lot of people thought the world would come to an end. That the Lord would come. But it didn't happen. I shall never forget the newspaper the next day, the headlines. And time goes on.
Yes.
Time has gone on. It has not come to an end. And what are the messages that you're hearing? The Lord is coming again. How many of you have seen signs down the highway? Big billboards.
Yes.
Jesus is coming soon.
Yes. Yes.
Do we take it seriously? Not really. Because time has gone on.
Yes.
Do I look for the Lord every day like I did in the 90s? I don't. I am waiting for the Lord, but I am not looking for Him every day. And yet He said for us to look for Him and watch for Him.
Yes.
To expect it. He is coming for some of us before He calls this world into judgment. So your time and my time could end. And the longer I live, the more I think that I possibly may not see the coming of the Lord. My life may end and everybody else still go on. Life goes on. It might happen. So we went by the field of the neglecter, and what did he find? After a while, when we don't take care of our field, thorns and nettles grows up and chokes. It says that the wall also was broken down. Don't you know that the Lord wants to put a wall about you? A wall of grace.
Yes.
For sin doth abound. My grace doth much more abound. I want to keep you in your little field. I can keep you. Do you pray that way? Do you pray, Lord, keep me in the midst of this life? Lauren and I built a house. Oh, we did some of the work. We did a lot of work. 2 years ago. And I knew when we started it, I knew there was a great danger to my soul. Because of the amount of time that it takes, the work, the energy. And every day, I prayed, Lord, keep my soul in the midst of this.
Yes.
We need to pray for the Lord to keep our soul in the midst of this world, this life,
Amen.
The cares of life, the busyness of life. The devil is fighting very hard for your attention. So the writer says, and I saw and I considered this well. And I looked upon it and I received instruction, and this is what he learned. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. And he said, so shall thy poverty come. We're in a sleepy time.
Yes.
And I'm not wanting to condemn anyone. I'm not looking at anyone that might be asleep. But I want to tell you, the devil wants to put sleep on us in the midst of a service. He wants us to be dull.
Yes.
He wants us to not be hearing the Word of God. I remember when I was young, a girl, observing a family member that used the Sunday morning service to write her letters. Did you hear me? Do you think that that's wise? But right now we have other things that can distract us right in the midst of the service. I don't want to put the young people on the spot. I do not look. But I know at Monarch there's a lot of texting going on. Is that a proper time? When the Word of God and the seriousness of what God is trying to do for your life. Is it wise to write a letter to somebody and not really pay attention to the Word of God? It's serious, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let us take it serious. As I was looking through those notes, I found that I also used another song in our congregation. Those that are here know I've used this song more times than I could count. My soul be on my guard. 10,000 foes arise. That's all you have to know about that song. You don't have to know about all of the other verses of that song. That right there says a message to each one of us. And how long ago was that song written? Possibly 100 years ago? Possibly more? And it was 10,000 foes then? How many foes might it be today? The message that we heard last night, did it awaken you? It's far beyond my comprehension, all of the electronics. I have only barely begun to learn to text. And to put all of those other things in place is beyond me. But it's here.
Yes.
That's what's in competition with the voice of God. Those are the things. You and I need to be willing to lay those things down, lay them aside. Just like Brother Michael said, cut them off.
Yes.
It's better that you go lame in life, or maybe stupid. I'm thinking about what the scripture says over in Isaiah. And it's a scripture that has affected me all of my ministry. Because it says, if you warn the righteous that they sin not, and they heed what, I'm paraphrasing, they heed what you say, they've saved their own soul.
Yeah.
And you have delivered your soul. It says for us to warn the ungodly, the sinner. It says if they turn from their sins, you've delivered your soul and they've saved their soul. But on the other side of the coin, it also says that if that righteous man sinneth, all of his righteousness will not be remembered anymore. But the scripture says if we do not warn, that their blood will be on our hands. That's a grave responsibility. There have been times that the word has been given, the warnings have been given. I remember one time, I want to testify, the Lord gave me a message. And I knew that it would step on somebody's toes in the congregation. I knew what was in their life. I hope that you will also see the mercy of God as I testify of this, but I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't do that. And you know, the Lord was so merciful to me. He didn't hound me. He gave me a space of time, and He worked with me until I had the grace to preach the message of warning. This particular case I will never forget. I went back into the nursery before I got up in the pulpit. I was in tears. Sister Burdett was back there. She was down praying with me. She didn't really know the burden, but she knew that I was under a great burden. I went back and went to the pulpit, and I delivered the message that the Lord gave me. The one that I knew it would affect sat there and played with a child and rejected the message. And he's gone today. He's far from God. God sends messages. He's reaching out.
Yes, He is.
He's faithful. I just want you to know the grave responsibility that the minister has to send the warnings. And we've received a number of warnings already in this meeting. I need some more Kleenex. So I'm going to give you a little bit more warning. And I want you to understand that I support 100% the messages that have already gone forth. So what I'm going to say is going to be in support of those messages. The greatest danger that you and I are compassed about with, what do you think that is? What do you call the greatest danger that is surrounding us today? You know, I asked that question in our congregation and someone else said that first. Lethargy is a great danger. But there are things that cause us to be lethargic. The greatest danger that I see in our world is entertainment. And the brother gave us that last night and it was so solid. But do you know where the seeds of entertainment started for our nation? Oh, it started many, many years ago. The seeds of entertainment began with old-time radio. When people didn't have a television, the brother said, this has gone way past the television. And many of you here won't even know what old-time radio is. But there was something that went out into the airwaves, entered the homes, and it was in the form of entertainment with old-time radio shows. We listened to them growing up. We didn't see anything wrong with them. We thought they were entertaining. Let me tell you how the Lord opened my eyes to it. It was after I was in the ministry. Lauren was working nights, all night. And on Sunday night, at a certain time, they started playing old-time radio programs on the radio. After church. So here I am by myself, and I decide, well, I'm going to run home after church and get dressed for bed and lay in bed and listen to these stories. And I did that a few times. And then one night, the Lord pulled back the curtain, and it caused me to see the influence of those things in our whole society. The story was, this young man wanted to play tennis on Sunday morning. He wanted to drive his father's car. But his father was sleeping late because it was the only morning of the week that his father could sleep late. And the essence of the story, he was backing, pushing the car out so he didn't waken his father that was asleep on Sunday morning. What message came across to America? Number one, it's okay to sleep late on Sunday morning. Number two, it's okay to go play tennis on Sunday morning. God was completely out of the picture. And the curtain was pulled back, and God revealed to me the seeds of all of the entertainment started back in what appeared to be an innocent time. We took our school children and went to the Oklahoma Museum, Oklahoma, there in Oklahoma City. And at that time, they had a room that was devoted to entertainment and the development of it. And it showed the different televisions, the different television sets, and how they became not to what they are today, not with a screen bigger than this, but they were about this big. But it showed the kind of shows that they played on there. And it was child's play. I looked at that, and the Lord just opened my eyes to what the enemy had in mind for the people. He couldn't possibly jump way up to 1960 and play those kind of movies or those kind of shows with that kind of talk. It had to start out with child's play. This is what the devil will do with each of you. He starts out with something so small, it looks so unimportant. But he wants it to grow, and he wants it to produce fruit. And what we heard last night was the end result in our society. Not the end, is it? It's still not the end. There's still more developing for our poor children and our teenagers. It's still developing.
That's
right. Let me tell you about movies. Let me back up. I want to tell you, like Brother Michael, we had a television in our home when I was growing up. I understood what he was talking about. Only we did it sneaky. My parents said, well, we'd have a television, but we have to have an antenna outside, and then everybody would know we had one. Well, you know, the devil had another plan. He got the rabbit ears. You remember rabbit ears? That was the antenna that sat on top of the television, and it went like that. And nobody outside your house knew if you had a television. And so we had this small television, and we would put it in the closet when people came. That's what I grew up with. And so I was addicted to television. Television went off at 12:30 at night. That's what time it went off. It's on all the time now. I would never get any sleep. My parents would allow me to take the television in after 10:30, after the news went off, and from 10:30 to 12:30 there was a movie. And I want to tell you, every time I felt so convicted, and I would pray, Lord, forgive me of this, and I could not free myself from it at all. That is the power of entertainment. Thank the Lord. I'm not under that now. But I want to tell you, I understand the danger of it, and I want to cry out against it. And the Word says for us to cry out and spare not.
Amen.
You need to be aware what movies are doing to you in your life. It's not the television now. The whole world is drunk on DVDs and movies. You go to McDonald's, you go to the drugstore, you go to Walmart, and they've all got these places. It's like I have a television that can play 24 hours a day. I can get any movie on it that I want. I can go to my computer, I suppose. I haven't done it, but I've heard it can be done. You can get a movie on your computer, and they are still hungry for a movie, and they go and rent them. And what's out there is trying to bleed in. Not trying, it has.
Yes.
I am ashamed. I was in a minister's home. And they had a library of movies. Not one or two, a library. God will judge those things. One time, there years ago, this family is grown now, but they came to me at Monarch, and they said, "Sister Maxine, we've been trying to get these movies at the library. They're good movies, you know. They're good." And they said, "We started trying to look at them. Before prayer meeting or before we went to had devotions. Our children could not focus. They wanted to, if they watched the movie before devotions, they could not focus on their devotions. So they decided they'd switch it around. And they put the devotion first and then they were going to watch the movie second. And they said that then they still couldn't be focused in anticipation of watching the movie. I urged them to give it up."
Yes.
Completely. I don't know if they did. Their children are all grown. I hope they did. But I want to tell you, if you have a family right now, if you're meddling in those things, it's the same as what Brother Michael said last night. You're sacrificing your children to this God.
Yes.
And the drums are beating.
Right. Amen.
And the cries of your children.
Yes.
Oh, this probably is child's play compared to what Brother Michael went in depth last night. But I want to tell you, we need to have it named out. I urge you, if you have an addiction, and I want to tell you, you'll know if it's an addiction if you can't get rid of it. You can be addicted to these entertainments. And God can deliver you. He can set you free. Oh, there's so many things. I'm just going to mention a little bit about the internet. I don't think I'm going to have to go into any great depth for you to know it's a great danger. But I want to tell you this. I saw this, read it. Over in China, they had so many young people that were addicted to the internet. They now have boot camps to wean them off of the internet. And it's almost like a prison. They're locked up. The information was given that they were so addicted to playing games and being on the internet and losing sleep and hardly eating that they even put on diapers so they didn't have to go to the bathroom. Now, that sounds extreme. And you're saying, well, that'll never happen to me. But that's out there. That's what's happening in China, and they're recognizing the great need to break the power of it, but they're going at it man's way. So the warning is, what are you giving yourself to? What's the great danger? I can tell you that there's a lot of innocent things on the internet. Do you know why the Lord spoke that to me, that I could lose my soul? You know why? Because I was spending a little too much time on Facebook. Innocent something. A little too much time. Did you know, if the scripture says that we're going to give an account of our words, will we not give an account of our time? I believe that we will.
Yes.
I want to tell you, there's people that gets addicted to Facebook. Recognize the signs, like the brother said this morning. Recognize the warning signals. If you can't give it up, there's something wrong. If you can't control it, if it's controlling you, something's wrong. And that's talking to the saints. That's not talking to the lost. That's talking to us. Warn the righteous that they sin not.
Amen.
Wake up. See the danger. Lord, help us.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stop. I could keep going. The burden is great. But I see and I am encouraged that the ministry is carrying the same burden. So you will probably hear it again before the summer is over. Maybe many times. I'd like to encourage you to pray for the ministers. Because the minister has to have a clean life in order to preach this.
Yes.
We have to be a partaker of the fruit first.
Yes.
If a minister is meddling in these things, the power of the message is broken.
Yes.
Pray for the ministers. Pray for the meetings. Pray for the saints.
Yes.
Pray for the lost. I desire you to pray for me. I want to prove faithful. Amen.
Amen.